Europe in the annual G8 summit meeting in France. Even though he once dismissed a tax cut this size, Bush maintains that what lawmakers ultimately came up with will create jobs. Democrats say even at $330 billion worth, the tax cuts are way too costly for a U.S. Treasury already running record deficits. And they say the package will provide little stimulus except for the bank accounts of the rich. Motorists in Nebraska are looking for alternate routes after a bridge collapse on a highway last night. Officials say a truck slammed into the bridge over Interstate 80, killing the driver. The accident closed a 10-mile stretch of the nation's busiest highway. And Memorial Day traffic makes things even worse. You're listening to news on the Information Radio Network.
Thomas Kincaid, the famous painter of light, experiences the joy of sponsoring a child through World Vision firsthand.
This is the home of a young girl named Celestina. Celestina can't go to school because every day she has to take care of her younger sister, Carolina. Her folks work all day long but get paid very little. This week they only made enough to buy corn for a few days, and it's all the food they've got. Now that means these girls will go hungry. My wife and I knew what we had to do.
You can give one child hope by helping World Vision tackle the root causes of poverty with proven effective programs like medical clinics, schools, and agricultural training for their parents. All for less than $1 a day or only $26 per month. For your free information package, call now 866-279-9435. That's 866-279-9435. Give a child in need a chance for a better tomorrow. Call 866-279-9435.
Amid growing media clamor, a pretrial hearing is set for Tuesday in California's Lacey Peterson murder. Fox News and others have quoted sources on Scott Peterson's defense team saying they found a woman who can prove Peterson's innocence. He's charged with murdering his wife and unborn son. Some stories have referred to the possibility of other suspects, even a satanic cult. Hong Kong is reporting no new SARS cases today for the first time since mid-March. Authorities did announce two more deaths from the disease. The World Health Organization lifted its travel advisory to Hong Kong yesterday. Toronto officials have announced a new cluster in the Canadian city. Republican Senator John McCain says Boeing's $16 billion agreement with the Air Force to lease 100 modified 767 jetliners to use as refueling tankers is too expensive. The Pentagon says the deal will allow the Air Force to replace its aging fleet earlier than planned. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNnews.com.
It's easy to get in over your head with debt. And once you're in debt, it may seem impossible to get out. But now there's a nonprofit organization that helps consumers finally get out of debt. It's called Debtscape. Call them at 1-800-762-5400. Debtscape negotiates with your creditors to reduce or even eliminate your interest rate and consolidate your bills into one lower monthly payment, which might be as much as 50% lower. If you're in over your head financially, let Debtscape help get you out. Call now, 1-800-762-5400.
It seems that Islam is spreading. John Russell follows this report.
Once thought of as an urban phenomenon, the growth of Mohammedism is starting to spread to the suburbs. As second and third generations of Muslims move into areas outside of the cities, they almost immediately start mosques as centers of Islamic community life. Imam Johadi Abdul Malik of the Dar al-Hijra Mosque in Falls Church, Virginia, credits the U.S. State Department's policy of more open Islamic immigration over the last 30 years for the spread of Islam into the nation's suburbs. John Russell, IRN News.
A poll suggests Americans have mixed feelings about the $330 billion tax cut Congress is sending to President Bush. 57% of those surveyed say the tax cut will benefit the rich more than the middle class. Half think the tax cut will help the economy and the stock market, but more than a third think it won't. The Times CNN poll finds people more inclined to say the money should be used for homeland security instead of tax cuts by 49%. To 42%. Bush asked Congress for a package more than twice the size of the one they delivered. He plans to sign it next week before heading to Europe for a G8 summit. The FBI's director says protecting Americans without undercutting their freedoms is a fine balancing act. Robert Mueller says the FBI has reached the appropriate balance, however. He says since 9/11, all Americans have had to give up some freedoms to ensure their safety from terrorists. But he says the pendulum shouldn't swing so far that people sacrifice important rights for security. He says that would give terrorists what they want. I'm D.T. Rogers. That's news from the Information Radio Network.
Exact news, exact weather, exact traffic, exactly when you need it on AM 990, WXCT, Southington, the all-new 990 DX.
It's the Travel World Radio Show.
Travel World. Radio Network.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Ooh, push that button.
Crazy, but welcome back to the Travel World Radio Show. This is Willem Backus with Stephen Pickford.
Good morning.
Yeah, and guest Ella Sobel in studio with us once again on a Saturday morning.
Good morning.
And, of course, Memorial
full of,
Day.
Full of words,
oh,
right?
Yes, what a wordsmith. Boy, wind her up and watch her go.
Obviously, I haven't had my coffee yet.
Well, this could also be a close cousin to Christine Peterson.
Oh, yes, the Pocono Mountains Vacation Bureau. Went there a few years ago. And it's one of those areas that we want to visit maybe once again for the romance in the Poconos. And it was a wonderful time when exploring one of those places that you the brochures don't give it justice. You look at a hotel brochure and you figure, ha, well, it's not going to be like that when you get there. We went to the Caesars Pocono Palace Resort, and
it was a lot better than that. Yeah. But you better be cool on that business of romance in the Poconos, Steve. We, you know, separate rooms.
Yeah. People looked at us. Two guys checked into a romantic hotel.
Yeah. Before you start giving guys like Robert McGrath ideas. Yeah.
And I wasn't even there to take pictures.
And we're going to be heading down to Bellows Falls, maybe.
Wait, let you get your glasses.
That's right.
Yes.
Here they are.
Wow, somebody's finally got words. Because we're asking this PR person about her area, the Poconos region. And we start talking about, well, great golfing in the area. And she goes, yeah.
We figured that she'd lead off by telling us how the first golf course in the Pocono Mountains at the Shawnee Inn was developed by Fred Waring, the big band era, Fred Waring and his Pennsylvanians. It was a five-minute monologue she could have given us on the history of golf in this beautiful region of northeast Pennsylvania. But oh, no. Yes. Well, there's lots of things. You know, lots of mosquitoes in Pennsylvania. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. Some people are born PR practitioners.
I remember the great press kit that we got from her about, was the Kittatinny River Company, and you wanted to have calm water. Of course, she says extremely calm water to go canoeing, and sends us a brochure with a picture of the Whitewater Rapids. And
I said, Bushkill Falls, the Niagara of Pennsylvania, largest drop, sheer water drop in the state of Pennsylvania.
So I figured if this is her calm water, I wonder what the rough water is like.
Oh boy, whale watching off of Massachusetts, north of Boston area, another fun place to go during the summertime. The feel of 1950s beachfront, Salisbury Beach, Newburyport, Salem Witch Trials, Lawrence, the Textile Museum. So much history and things to see and do in north of Boston area.
We're big fans of the area. Speaking of history and terrific things to do this week, we were privileged to be among the folks at Moishe's Steakhouse in Montreal, celebrating their 65th anniversary.
And to celebrate, and because of the economy is improving a bit more here in the Montreal market, they are opening for lunch as of next week. So if you're in town during the summertime, you don't just have to wait till dinner time to satisfy your cravings for steak at the legendary Moishe's. Be open for lunch as well.
I remember they opened also their windows on the main, because they are located on what is affectionately known as the Main Street in Montreal. And they've now opened their windows because they were closed and sealed for many, many years. So it's nice having a view, enjoying the view of the street. Of course, street level Montreal in the summertime is something that is actually very, very entertaining to see.
It's vibrant, and it was a nice bright room, and you get a good view of the eastern slopes of Mount Royal by looking out. So it's a nice, relaxing setting, superb service as well.
Oh, I was also alluding to the fact that Montreal has, by my estimation, the prettiest women I have ever seen anywhere.
Thank you, Willem.
And, I talked about women, right? Anyway.
What are friends for, right?
Yeah. And no, but you're looking at the window. And of course, in the summertime, summertime in Montreal, they start wearing a little bit less and a little bit less. But even, just your garden variety office workers walking by and say, oh, yes.
A feast for the eyes.
Well,
feast for the senses.
It's also because our winters are so long, and finally spring and summer comes, and you just want to spend time outside. And
interesting choice of words. But yes, seriously, you look out there, and it's a feast for everybody. I mean, there's
women
places
too.
Down to, you know, well, yeah, I like women looking at women. That's good.
Yeah. I didn't quite mean it that way.
When's the ratings book out?
I know that you did.
No, seriously.
Yeah, ratings.
Yeah, there's a square in Montreal called Phillips Square, where my office used to be many, many years ago. And we would go there for lunchtime, and it's just the collection of people that you see there. Now, Phillips Square is among the tall office buildings in Montreal. They kind of clustered in three or four places, but this is one of the clusters in Place Ville-Marie, of course, landmark of Montreal. And they all come out for lunch. They all sit in the sunshine eating, well, whatever, you know, they either buy at a local restaurant. There's no street vendors, but they bring a box lunch or a bag lunch, and people like to just sit on the grass and enjoy the sunshine. But my goodness, what a feast for the eyes. Just stand there and watching all the girls go by.
And you find people from very many different walks of life. So you see your businessmen, you see your street. Well, there are some street vendors. They'll be selling jewelry.
I thought you were going to say
streetwalkers. I'm sure there's some of them.
That's a different
there
kind of
too.
Street vendor. Not on Phillips Square. No. That's
Carré Saint-Louis.
That's right.
Yeah, Carré Saint-Louis.
There's different squares for everyone.
Street. Yeah, of course. There's also the Ontario Street variety. Yeah, oh, yeah, there's a whole mass of them, yeah.
And you know where they all are. Of course, one of those areas you're also going to...
I'm not the only expert in the city.
No. Some of us have to do research because we are are journalists, real journalists.
Real journalists, not like Socrates and Aristotle. No, and
the new restaurant that's going to open across America. I think they just opened in Sacramento.
Aristotle's Republic.
Yes, specializing in Moroccan couscous.
And they have coaches and you can watch football.
And wrestling, and well, the couches, of course, are
kind of broken,
run down. They have satellite wrestling and football, the only two channels you get, or the Cartoon Network, so they can
They specialize in burnt chicken,
beer, cigarettes. Yeah,
of course, you're also looking forward this summertime as we're talking about a little bit about summer travel up to Lac Toro, the Lanaudière region.
Yes, that's another one of the great things I like about Montreal. It is so close to just about anything you might ever want to do. North of Montreal, about an hour and a half drive, is a place called Lac Toro. Take the Highway 131 north, just east of Montreal, and voila, you're in this beautiful resort.
It's also going to be a little easier this year to travel within Canada. It's going to be easier to travel cross-border as soon as they get that part of the fare structure into place, because Air Canada, as part of their reorganization under bankruptcy protection, has done away with the Saturday night stay requirement. They've gone to 3 to 5 fare levels. Lowest fare level is non-refundable, but you can change it for $25 each way. And some of their unrestricted full fares are up to 40% less than what they were before. So an easing up of some of the restrictions and making it easier for people to understand, kind of following the Southwest and WestJet principles of instant purchase, but some flexibility there, not trying to gouge you the $100 or $200 to change the tickets. So it's going to be a little easier to travel transborder and within Canada this year. Those fares are exclusively on the internet at aircanada.com.
Now, you know what a big fan I am of Air Canada, especially of late. My curiosity is just how on earth does an airline get itself in financial trouble when they're running full loads practically the whole time? Most of the flights I've flown for the last 2 years have been pretty full.
Yeah, they've done 70-80% load factors, which it used to be that you could break even at around 60%. Number of factors, increased insurance costs, increased fuel costs, and of course, labor costs have skyrocketed. And of course, that's management signing a contract, trying to avoid a labor dispute, and they agree to increased costs. And some of the work rules are very... unbending and inflexible at the major carriers. It's not just Air Canada, but these are the reasons why companies like American have had to seek over $1 billion in wage concessions, and where the savings also are to be had are in work rule relaxation.
Work rule relaxation, as in what?
Well, being able to do other tasks, multitask. This is the Southwest principle, where somebody in the company can do more than one thing. It's not like, oh, I can't pick up that candy wrapper because it is not in my job description.
No more not in my department. Stay tuned following the break on the Travel World Radio Show. We're coming up on 15 minutes past, and we're across America via satellite right here on the CAB Radio Network. Across America via satellite.
You guys are insane.
Travel World will continue.
Travel World Radio Show.
Are you a diabetic? Do you know someone who is? Well, here's some great news that can save you time and money. If you're required to test your blood sugar, Medicare and Medicaid may pay for your diabetes testing supplies. And if that's of interest to you, you need to know about RTEX Medical. We'll ship your diabetes supplies right to your door at no cost to you, and we work with Medicare and Medicaid and even most private insurances to determine your maximum coverage benefits. Call now to confirm your eligibility. 866-490-3992. Again, we are RTEX Medical, and our commitment to you is to save you time, money, and hassles on receiving your diabetes testing supplies. There are no membership fees, no shipping costs. We even file all the insurance claims, so call 24 hours a day. 866-490-3992. 866-490-3992. 866-490-3992.
So, you want to sell your home, but the prospect is just too daunting. Get real. Buying or selling your home doesn't have to be intimidating. Talk to Jay Steves at Century 21 Access America. We're the most trusted name in real estate in North America because we know that real estate is about real people, buyers and sellers, who want to make the process as easy and stress-free as possible. Get real about selling your home. Call your personal realtor, Jay Steves, at 378-1451. Century 21 Access America. Real people, really working for you.
If you're one of the 40 million Americans who can't get credit, you now have the opportunity to earn your own major bank card. Here's how it works. American Security Financial guarantees you a Credit Plus card with a $2,500 line of credit so you can catalog shop from the comfort of your home. Now, not only can you charge the things you want, but this program also gives you a big opportunity to establish or rebuild your credit and earn your own major bank card. To discover the details, call 1-866-201. 3228. That's 1-866-201-3228. If you're over 18 years old and have a valid bank account, you qualify. There's no security deposit required and no credit check, so you have nothing to lose. Call 1-866-201-3228 for your $2,500 credit card today. Call 1-866-201-3228. That number one more time is 1-866-201-3228.
Jim, I'm worried. You don't have enough life insurance. How would the kids and I get by without you?
I know, but it's such a hassle finding the best rates.
You know, I talked to Sue Carter, and she told me about Best Quote. Bob actually doubled his coverage with a leading insurance company without paying a penny more.
Really? But what's the catch?
No catch. You just call them for free quotes in the mail. No salesman ever contacts you.
I've heard rates are coming down. You know what? I'll call Best Quote.
That's right. You can save up to 70% on your premiums. For instance, a 35-year-old non-smoking male can get $250,000 of coverage for less than $12 a month, guaranteed for 10 years.
Honey, you were right. Best Quote got us a lot more insurance, and we're paying less per month.
Thanks for taking care of us, Jim.
I can't believe I put it off for so long. Best Quote made it so easy.
Call toll-free 1-800-758-4292. That's 1-800-758-4292. 1-800-758-4292.
Dependent on underwriting, Nikola GRX-10 Premier. Available in most states. Steve Rubin, licensed agent. Call for state-specific licensing.
You and 120 credit hours, 51 textbooks, and the perfect way to pay for it all.
Army National Guard.
As a member of the Army National Guard, you don't have to worry about how you're going to pay for college.
100% of your tuition.
The Guard has you covered. So come visit the team who can help you get through college on the web at 1-800-GO-GUARD.com or call 1-800-GO-GUARD in the Army National Guard.
You can.
Sponsored by the Connecticut National Guard. Aired by the Connecticut Broadcasters Association and this station.
The devil inside, the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside. Devil inside, the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside.
Welcome back to the Travel World Radio Show. Will and back is Stephen Pickford, special guest Al Sobel in the studio with us and talking about travel and lifestyles programming today. We got a special guest on the line with us, Steve.
Yes, Sandra Lam is an award-winning author, and she's offering us advice this morning from her new book, Personal Notes, How to Write from the Heart for Any Occasion. And she's a former columnist for the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News and written relationship psychology articles for national magazines, including Family Circle and Woman's Day and Working Mother. Now, good morning, Sandra.
Good morning.
Now, looking at your book, and what exactly got you to writing this book? Is rudeness on the rise, and how are you combating that?
Yes, I'm afraid rudeness is on the rise. I actually recently did a survey and reported the results in the Denver Post, comparing what people feel are ill manners in about 10 cities across the country. And actually, there was a year ago or so, there was a national survey that pointed out somewhat the same thing. Yes, unfortunately, we are, but you know, each and every one of us can take the responsibility of kind of turning our behavior to a gentler, kinder, kind of better level of civility.
How can we do that?
Well, I think actually some of the keys are basically in renewing those kinds of niceties that sort of marked society some time ago, a number of years ago, and that's what I've tried to capture in this book, Personal Notes, How to Write from the Heart for Any Occasion.
Such as what? What kind of niceties? I have a few in mind myself.
Okay. I think one of the basic ones that everyone feels very disheartened about is the lack of people writing thank you notes for not only gifts but also acts of kindness that people do for us. You know, we're never too rushed really to do it. I mean, we think that we don't have time. We think that everything, you know, needs to continue to run on warp speed, but in fact, we do have time.
Good heavens, most people don't even say thank you these days. Let alone writing a note to say so.
No, that's right. And actually, it's just so interesting to me that even friends of mine say they've given gifts to the same people at holiday time or something for 20 years and have never received one single thank you note.
Well, they figure that they're due, they're owed it. Or they figure, oh, well, they know that I appreciate it, I don't have to tell them.
Well, and some people also say, well, I picked up the phone and I thanked them. But it's not the same thing. You know, it just doesn't say, I appreciate this so that I'm going to take a little time out of my day and actually sit down, sort of go to an inner level of myself and express something out of my heart that says, I really do appreciate this. You know, it's not just a flip off the top of the mind verbal thank you. This was nice, and I'll use it for this or that or something else. But it's taking the time to sit down and write out a note, put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, and mail it that says, well, gosh, I mean, she really did, you know, she really did appreciate this.
And you really see that. I mean, I know I got a note from a 7-year-old girl this week. I'd given her a gift for her communion, and it was just so lovely. Her parents have taught her she always must send a thank you note after receiving gifts. And I think it's a beautiful personal touch, and you're absolutely right. People just don't take the time to do that anymore.
And how much time does it take? I think you can actually start, you know, to change your behavior by helping yourself, by keeping your notes in a specific place, by going immediately in time or very soon after an event. There's a wonderful story about the head of Revlon Cosmetics, Charles Revson, who actually addressed his thank you note and put it on his desk before he went to a luncheon. And immediately when he came back, in the top of his mind was the fact that, you know, they had lobster bisque or something else, and he mentioned those things and wonderful asparagus tips, and he just, you know, wrote that out in the note immediately and stuck it in the mail. So it says, you know, so if you train yourself, and it doesn't really take, you know, then much time or preparation, if you have your notes in a place, if you sit down and do it immediately, so then it doesn't become this nagging thing, too. I think what often happens is people procrastinate, and then they start being embarrassed by the fact that they haven't done this and a period of time has passed.
Well, we wanted to start a procrastinators club, but we decided to put it off till next week. So thank you. Yeah, well, we decided to start a pessimist club, but nobody thought it would work. But next week, thank you notes. Now, what other things do you have in mind? I have a nice little hot topic in mind.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. It's actually something that... It speaks to the level of respect with which people are brought up these days. Because back in my day, kids were not allowed to talk to grown-ups by using their first name.
And
that's something that you bring it up to almost any mom these days, and oh boy, they say, well, you can't tell me how to raise my child. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah? Well, that 3-year-old running around calling me Willem ain't ain't right. You know, this is not a little adult. This is a child.
No, that's true. And I do think that we have sort of dismissed all those formalities that, you know, that sort of marked society some time ago.
Yeah.
And actually, those would not be improper to bring back.
Well,
and
I never went wrong calling somebody Mr. or Mrs. until I was
absolutely
asked.
Absolutely. Right. You know. And I think, you know, we have become a more casual society, and a lot of people have sort of taken down those respect barriers by allowing children to call them by their first name, you know, the friends of their children or something. And this is something, obviously, in this, because we do live in this time frame, that you probably have to correct by saying, I prefer that he call me X, or, you know, or directly to him, please call me, you know, Mr. whatever. So then you reestablish kind of those, you know, kind of those levels of difference between children.
Oh, I try. It's an uphill battle, let me tell you.
And children learn from watching their parents. You have to really go about teaching your children and following by example.
Well, no, absolutely right. And that actually goes back to the very act that we were talking about children writing thank you notes as well. Children learn these things by observing their children, their parents doing them. So obviously the way to continue to have a more civil society is for parents to teach their children. And if your children don't see you doing it, this is obviously not something they're going to learn at home.
Now, one can use those personal notes concept to even increase employment possibilities as well.
Absolutely. You know, in fact, I think that in the present very difficult employment market, they mark you as someone, obviously you get more top-of-the-mind awareness when you do that, and you mark yourself as being someone who has good character by writing a thank-you note immediately after an interview. And I would say be sure to sort of extend that to all the people involved in the process. If the secretary made a number of calls to set up, you know, often when you go in for an interview, it's not one interview, but you have a series of interviews. You want to make sure that you thank everyone who was involved in the process. Obviously, don't carry it too far, but when you were interviewed by four or five people, you want to make sure that you thank each one of them. If someone was very involved in setting all this up, you want to make sure that you thank that person as well. And this is the perfect time, of course, to sort of restate what the key point of that you feel your particular qualification for a position is.
It makes you stand out from the crowd. It'll keep your name at the forefront.
Absolutely. And again, remember that you want to set it properly in time. You want to do it immediately because you have just been in the office. This is the time when you want to again put a punctuation point on the fact that you were there and what your qualifications are. So don't wait a week or something. Make it within 24 hours.
It also lets someone feel good knowing, hey, this person really took the time to thank me for my time.
Absolutely. And that obviously is what you want to emphasize in your note. You know, be sure to focus on the person to whom you are writing your note. And this is true in every time you do any kind of note, whether it's a note of congratulations, which obviously is more obvious in that case. If it's a thank you note, of course, you want to focus on the person who gave you the gift or did the kindness. And then often the way to get to the key of sort of connecting the dots is if you focus on that person, and then you focus on the gift that was given, and then you connect it to yourself, you've obviously closed the circle.
Well, they always told me, make your words soft and sweet, because you'll never know when you got to eat them. But it's a question of general...
Good point.
Well, there's a point of general politeness and stuff. We've covered the thank you side and the please and whatever, but there's certain formalities. You can tell it in the way somebody writes as well. I read a book called My Years with General Motors by Alfred P. Sloan, and you see the way he writes and how he refers to his colleagues, and you can see there's a formality in there. And you know what? Take a look at society then. Take a look at society today. Who's right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly have become much more informal. Absolutely correct. And it's not always good. I think your point is well taken.
We're going to continue this after the break.
I'm sorry?
We're going to continue talking about personal notes, how to write from the heart for any occasion. Sandra Lam is our guest this morning on Travel World when we return, 1:30. I'm Stephen Pickford. Stay listening.
Across America via satellite.
Something the banshee.
What the hell is a banshee?
Seek Help.
Travel World Radio Show.
Are you losing your hair like me? Then you gotta listen to me about a great new product called New Hair. It's all natural, clinically tested to stop hair loss, and New Hair is guaranteed to work. All natural New Hair comes in a convenient tablet form with formulas targeted specifically for men and women. Take two tablets every day, and New Hair goes to work on your entire scalp. Plus, order now and New Hair costs under $40 a month. So if you're frustrated with your hair loss problem, try clinically tested New Hair. It's all natural, convenient to use, and New Hair comes with up to a 6-month guarantee. So call now, 800-481-9971. Remember, New Hair is guaranteed for up to 6 months to improve your hair loss problem for men and women. Call right now and order. 800-481-9971. 800-481-9971. 800-481-9971.
Hi, I'm a real true life mother of five, but I've spent nearly the last 4 years ignoring the futures of kids in my community because I don't show my support for after school programs. It's easy. All you have to do is sit there, in your car, in your home, wherever it's most convenient to do nothing. To show how little you care, don't call 1-866-KIDS today. And don't log on to afterschoolnow.org.
After school programs. Ignore them and they'll go away. A public service message brought to you by the After School Alliance, the Mott Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Alex Rodriguez of the Texas Rangers talks about the Boys and Girls Clubs.
When I was 9, my mom had to work 2 full-time jobs. She didn't get home till 11. The streets were there, but for my sake, so was the Boys and Girls Club. A positive place for kids and our second home every day after school. Eddie Rodriguez ran the Boys and Girls Club in my neighborhood. I still come back to train with Eddie.
There are more than 3,000 Boys and Girls Clubs where caring people like Eddie are helping our kids succeed.
Does it work? It did for me. Support the Boys and Girls Clubs, the positive place for kids.
Call 1-800-854-CLUB.
I love this song. I sing it, too. And the other day, I was up at Smoke Meat Pete's singing a little bit of Lynyrd Skynyrd, Give Me Three Steps. And, of course, there was a nice situation in that. That little one cutting a rug in a place called I call it the Bug. I like it. What kind of a bar would be called the Bug? Well, we're online. I'm leading to this.
Okay. What's your...
The whole point of the lyrics in that song is that this guy was dancing with someone else's woman. So how do you say you're sorry without writing a letter of, dear Gwendolyn, sorry about the loss of your husband. Now that you're available, ... right?
Sandra Lam is with us today on Travel World. Personal notes. How to write from the heart for any occasion. St. Martin's Press just out this past week, and her website is www.sandralam.com. That brings up an interesting question. Only Willem would think of that.
It's Willem's world once again.
Where everything is possible.
Is that called the old segue?
That would be the Melanie Reffes word for it, yes.
Well, I think when we're talking about bad news or a note of sympathy, we want to, in all seriousness, open with a simple and strong sentence that expresses how sorry you are. In the case of if you're writing this to someone perhaps in a less severe situation where someone has lost their job, though that obviously that's very severe if you're the person who's lost your job, you want to obviously confirm that bad news first. You don't want to base something on just a rumor that's going around. But once you confirm it, write, as soon as you hear this bad news and express in your initial sentence how sorry you are. Obviously, if it's the case of a deceased person, it's best to name that person or name the loss or event you're writing about. For example, I was so sorry to hear that you lost your dear Harry. And my thoughts are with you at this time of sorrow or something. And then secondly, if in fact it's a case where someone has lost a loved one, you have known them fairly well, you might, in the next sentence, relate a fond memory in the next few sentences of something that you remember, your relationship with the person. And I think it's often meaningful if then you offer some kind of specific help. And that obviously means that you make the commitment to do it, and you make it in real terms something that can, in fact, be very helpful. If it's someone you're working with, a colleague perhaps, you could offer to handle a certain account if you know that, you know, there's ongoing business that needs to be taken care of, and this person obviously is not going to be able to do that in the foreseeable future.
Dear George, now that you've lost your job, can I have your accounts?
Yeah. I wasn't thinking actually of that, scenario.
You have to make it personalized, because some people just, they might actually get around to writing a note of some sort, but they use one note for every occasion, and it sounds like fill in the blank or...
It lacks specificity. So if I can be of any assistance, let me know. You know, that doesn't quite work in the case where someone is bereaved. You need to say, I suggest that, or may I take your phone calls over the next, you could forward your phone to me, or do you need to borrow a car? Do you need transportation to somewhere? Could I pick up the children after school for the next 2 weeks and bring them to my house from 3 to 6? Or, I mean, you know, make it very specific. Or could I bring dinner over on Thursday, or, you know, something like that.
So I guess it was gauche when I sent ruby slippers to my ex-wife when I learned her mother died, going, ding dong, the wicked witch is dead.
Yes, I think perhaps...
Phone up the bereaved.
It probably didn't have that real ring of remorse.
Oh, it was definitely sincere, though.
But not quite the way that most people would do it.
Actually, I was pretty classy then. I actually did send her a note. Yeah, sorry about the loss of your mother.
You didn't say ding dong.
The witch is dead. The wicked witch is dead. No,
right.
No, I wanted to. But that was in the mind between the voices in my head.
It's a little cartoon bubble above his head.
And that's what.
Right.
Yeah, and that rhymes too. Good Lord. We have a songwriting team here. No, seriously, I did. And the father, of course, man of many words, says, "Thank you." And that was it.
Well, some people are just so surprised as well when somebody actually does something kind or something that is polite or exhibits some form of manners that they're absolutely shocked.
There's a breakdown in our society of basic courteousness, I'm finding, and it's really sad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And obviously this is, you know, it's not a good direction for us to go, and that's actually why I really felt the need to write this book, because
right.
each one of us needs to take the personal responsibility to sort of, you know, turn back the kindness clock, as it were.
Yeah. Well, there's more to it as well. I mean, the idea of writing notes also is what you say. There's two main points on this one. Like last Saturday, of course, I was attending the memorial for my friend's mother. I grew up backyard of my house, this family, knew them for years, and the lady had passed away. Now you're in front of people you haven't seen for over 15 years, but what do? You go up to them, you know, the first thing is, you know, sorry about the loss of your mom. That was about all I could think of saying at the time. You know, you're just kind of at a loss for words, so you try to get a bit specific. But I mean, the only people I really knew were the family members themselves.
Mm-hmm. And obviously then your second statement, if you had a fond memory of her, or I always remembered her as, or I particularly appreciated these things about her, would obviously be something that would follow up your initial statement, if in fact you knew those things.
Oh, definitely.
But you're right, often you don't, if you don't have those details, then there isn't a lot you can add to that.
The thing is, though, when you're at a situation like that, I find they're also happy just at least to see you. But I mean, a nice note of respect as well is. I mean, good Lord. I mean, I remember one person sent me a note. I thought it was the fourth sign of the apocalypse. I mean, this guy, polite. I never, who'd have thunk it?
It also has to do with making effort. People tend to not put in the effort into personal relationships, if you will, as they used to.
Well, and actually, yes, and I think we need, obviously, to make an to do that, And it does take some effort, but as I was saying about the thank you note, if you set yourself up to be able to do this, you'll be amazed that it really doesn't take that much effort. And actually, there's a payoff, as it were, for you too, because this is an opportunity for you to grow. It is obviously an opportunity for you to go sort of beyond the surface and kind of, you know, to that deeper level of really expressing something from your heart and making a real connection with someone.
And you can extend this concept of courteous behavior to even writing a love letter.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
And some of the same principles are involved. You know, you've all seen those greeting cards that you send for particular occasions, and all the lines are related to me, me, me. You know, I love you because you bring sunshine into my life. I love you because, you know, you bought me the ruby slippers, right?
Yeah.
I don't think love would be the word at that point, but...
Well, no, I mean, they're all self-serving.
Yes.
So if you're going to write a love letter, you know, elevate it a bit. And, again, focus on that person to whom you're writing. What is it about the personality? What is it about the character that you absolutely admire and love? And those are the things, obviously, I mean, that take your, you know, your love note to a higher level, as it were.
Well, I remember when I wrote on a Valentine, I pre-typed this one particular letter, and then I filled in pen. It says, "Dear," and there was a blank, and I wrote her name. "I really like the way you check one. You know, you are the only one for me."
There you go. And so you sort of reuse that, is that right?
Well, yeah.
Depending on the, you know, the month, the person, whatever.
You just got to make sure the name matches the envelope.
No, that's true.
I made
true.
That mistake, yeah.
In these days of recycling.
That's true. You want to get the right card into the right envelope.
Well, actually, what happened later on was at Christmas time, I sent out a few, and Ella steamed open the envelope, put a rubber stamp, boom, and Ella wishes you the same, sealed it up, put return to sender, save the stamp.
Oh, nothing like sincerity. That extra bit of effort. Love our friends and relatives.
Well, come on. The stamp had to be bought, right?
Well, yeah. It was bought and paid for and never canceled.
No. Well, if you put it back in the envelope and say, return to sender, unknown address, well, yeah. Don't have to pay for the stamp either. So
there's also, you know, a point as to style of writing as well. I had a friend of mine recently, and you see this as a proliferation on the internet lately, of people who just don't take the time to even spell properly. You know, he says to me, "Thank," and then the letter U, for helping me with my email. And I wrote him back, and I said, you know, Farley, do not you when you mean Y-O-U. Don't you are when you mean Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, Y-O-U-R, you know.
No, I think that this obviously is somewhat a disservice to us, the very casualness on the internet, and all these acronyms and these little... emoticons that end up, you know, sort of riddling our emails.
Well, it has Orwellian newspeak overtones to it. I mean, for goodness sakes, if you want to write to me, just write.
No, absolutely. I think that it is going to be very important for us to practice this in order, you know, to sort of get ingrained in not only this generation but the next generation, the civilities that created the kind of society we really want to live in.
Well, you know, it's all part of that. I think it boils down in the end, finally, to respect, how you respect one another, whether you're dealing with a thank you or paying your respects to the loss of somebody, or even confirming the fact that somebody has lost their job before you send them a card about that.
Absolutely. Do not do it on the basis of a rumor. Be sure to check these things out.
Or somebody says, "My grandfather died," and of course then you send the card or show up and he didn't really die.
Send them back all six.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, in a lot of times you may hear so-and-so is in the process of divorcing someone, you know, all these kinds of things that may not have happened yet. Someone is ill, in fact, you know, are they ill or did they die? All these kinds of things need to be confirmed, obviously, before you send the note.
And the all those tips in the personal notes, How to Write from the Heart for Any Occasion, St. Martin's Press by Sandra Lamb. www.sandralamb.com is her website. Thanks so much for joining us with some of your thoughts and ideas this morning, Sandra.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us on the Travel World Radio Show. It's 45 minutes past the hour. We're taking a break on the Cab Radio Network.
Across America via satellite.
Something the Banshee.
What the hell is a Banshee?
Seek help.
Travel World Radio Show.
One night, Mommy and Daddy went on to a date. They got a babysitter to watch me. The babysitter was a family friend. She was like an angel to me in front of big people. But after my parents left, she stopped acting like an angel and started being mean. My parents didn't believe me until they got a surveillance camera from the spy shop in Milldale. When they got home that night, they watched the tape and saw the babysitter yelling at me all the time. Now, we don't use that babysitter anymore.
Unfortunately, the times are changing, and stories like this one are more frequent, and you begin to wonder if you can even trust a longtime family friend. Put your mind and heart at ease with surveillance equipment from the Spy Shop. The Spy Shop promotes truth through technology, spy gadgets, bug detectors, and cool stuff. Visit spyville.com or call 628-2075. 628-2075.
Duty, honor, country. These three words define who we are. Duty. Friends and neighbors united for the common good, in service to others, and for the benefit of all. Honor. The deep-rooted faith that selfless dedication to a noble cause is right, just, and good. Country. A solemn vow volunteered to support our nation's people during desperate times. Mercy. In the midst of nature's wrath. Hope when all seems lost. Duty. Honor. Country. We're the Army National Guard. Call 1-800-GO-GUARD. That's 1-800-GO-GUARD.
In the Army National Guard, you can.
Sponsored by the Connecticut National Guard. Aired by the Connecticut Broadcasters Association and this station.
Attention inventors! Need a patent? Then you need Inventech, the launchpad for new ideas. Inventech understands the needs of inventors like you. And only Inventech offers a free new product market analysis. It's the first step towards a patent and marketing success. Call 1-800-647-4800. That's 1-800-647-4800. With your market analysis, receive a free video and learn the secrets the pros use to take it to the next level. Be first to the marketplace while your idea is still hot. With our worldwide experience, Inventech can turn your idea into reality. Learn if your idea has the right stuff for marketing success. It's free. Don't let this opportunity slip away. Call now and receive your free analysis, free marketing info, and a free video. Take that all-important first step towards turning your dream into reality. Call 1-800-647-4800 to receive your free package loaded with info. That's 1-800-647-4800. Call now.
Welcome to Classes on Tape.
Okay.
Repeat the following phrase. Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Hey, Dad. How's it going?
Son, you're so proud. And that's a great test.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
How do I coach an athlete to swim like a fish?
To run like the wind.
And how do I give that athlete an unbending will to succeed?
I do it with dedication.
And training.
And pride, because our athletes are Special Olympics athletes.
If you're at least 18 years of age and have a love for sports, Special Olympics wants you to share your special skills with our athletes.
Call Special Olympics at 1-800-700-8585.
Be a coach. Inspire greatness.
Special Olympics. Thank you.
Here it comes.
Uh-huh.
Cynthia's theme song. Welcome back to the Travel World Radio Show with Willem Backus and Stephen Pickford.
Good morning.
And we've got one of our most favorite guests, one of our most favorite correspondents on the air with us today. Cynthia Fodor joins us once again from the beautiful town of Des Moines, Iowa. How are you?
Good morning, and it is beautiful out here today. Blue skies, and I'm getting all set to go down to the farmer's market. Which is wonderful.
So how is everything with you, Cynthia?
Everything is great.
And how's Jake doing?
He's fabulous. Jake, of course, being my 9-year-old, or he just turned 10 last week.
See, look at that.
Not used to saying that yet.
Well, he's starting to really get there. Does he remember Hudson Foga?
Of course.
Yes.
How could he ever forget? Hi, Stephen.
Hi. Well, Hudson's off today. He's jetting off to Regina, Saskatchewan to visit with his mother for the week, and soon his bio and his picture will be up on our revamped, revised, and revitalized website at twc.ca.
Woohoo!
Oh, I remember. I still laugh at the word Regina, but... when
only you would.
Yes, I know. That just makes me. But I remember when we last met Cynthia, of course, we were 5 years ago now. We're at West Palm Beach. Been a long time since I've seen you, Cynthia.
It has been. We need to plan a trip together real soon.
Oh, well, I'm game for that.
Yeah. Hey, everybody's dreaming of summer vacations now, so.
And you were just out in Las Vegas.
I was. And, you know, I'm not a gambler. And I just... it's amazing to me that you can go to Vegas for a couple of days, not gamble, and still have an incredibly fun time. I think I was in a casino all of maybe 10 minutes. I didn't even put a quarter in a slot machine.
I play the nickel slots. I'm called the low roller.
Well, you can always be like our good friend Jay Rubenstein. When we went to Las Vegas, he actually had a coupon for a free luggage car to the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. So I don't know anyone who has a free coupon for a luggage cart, but he returned the luggage cart, and it gave him back, even though it was free, it gave him back a quarter for returning the cart safely, and he parlayed the quarter into 5 nickels, played some nickel machines, and came home with all of extra $20. So,
oh,
hey,
wow.
you can be lucky. You can get
lucky.
Yeah,
you can.
Or you can also spend a lot of money.
I meant to at least put a quarter in a slot machine just to maybe, you know, get beginner's luck, but... I mean, there is so much to do there. I didn't even really have time to do that. Of course, I was also there for a convention, so,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
That helped. But, I mean, the thing is that about this trip that I really found, and, you know, a lot of people aren't traveling overseas now with a high terror alert, and I love Europe, and I haven't been there in years, having had a son, and then, you know, with 9/11 and the war and everything else. But you can go to Vegas, and you can really have a worldly experience in just a couple of days. Very inexpensive. The hotels are just so fabulous now. I mean, the three that I had picked to experience the Venetian, you know, for a little taste of Italy, the Luxor, so you could feel like you're in Egypt for a day, and then, of course, Paris. Well, I ended up taking the red eye back, so I didn't get to stay at Paris that night. But, I mean, you can really have an out-of-this-country experience just by going to this one city. And these hotels are so huge, they're like cities in themselves. And there is so much to do and see in one hotel that it's just amazing. You are truly transported to, like, another place and time in these places.
This was beginning April you were there, right?
Yes, I was there last month. And the first night I stayed at the Luxor. And have you stayed there before, Stephen?
No, the last time I was in Vegas, I was at the Flamingo Hilton. Before that, I was at the Sands, which at the Sands they tore down and...
built the Venetian.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the Luxor, as you probably know, is a giant pyramid.
Yep.
And you see it from the outside, and you can't believe this is a hotel. But I guess the ancient Egyptians built on such a massive scale to remind men of their insignificance before God. I mean, and when you go out to Vegas, you better take your walking shoes, because just to get from the lobby to your room, it's about a mile because of the size of these hotels. And you, of course, have to walk through the casino to get to the elevator to your room. You have
of course,
to walk
naturally.
Through the casino to get just about anywhere. But the Luxor is so huge. You walk into, I think they call it the largest atrium in the world, and it's just a stunning lobby. And they say here you can really learn what it's like to live like a pharaoh. I had these hotels even have historians who work on them, and I had the historian there, Clydeen, a lovely lady, take me around. and really point out the detail. Now, of course, most people probably walk into these hotels and go to their rooms and get their money and head for the casinos. But if you take the time and look around, it really can be an educational experience. I mean, even here the shops are all set up like an Arab bazaar. Use your imagination a little bit. You can buy real Egyptian antiquities from the first century, jewels of the Nile. They have paintings on papyrus, even a recreation of King Tut's chair and art reproductions, a store for tiny Tuts, they call it, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
But really, the detail is so amazing. I mean, every wall is a work of art with special moldings and hieroglyphics. And, you know, I didn't really know much about Egyptian history and had never really been that interested in it, but it really just is fascinating to go into these places and use it as an educational experience to learn about these things if you can't get to Cairo or Egypt itself.
Well, I mean, about the historical part of it, is there something that you're actually learning there that's true, or is it mostly just the standard media hype that they throw in?
No, I mean, it is very true. They have, as I said, these historians who go over to Egypt and study and reproduce it to the letter. And there also is a museum there where you can go through with a headset explaining Egyptian history, and they have the only exact replica of King Tut's tomb outside of Egypt there.
Hmm.
And also they have, you know, there's so much out there for children now or the kid in the adults. There's also an IMAX ride theater, and one of the shows is The Mysteries of Egypt. And so you really get a feel for what it was like living there at that time. Even the food court has hand-painted murals and columns, and, you know, there are talking camels, and it's really interesting. Of course, for you, Willem, there's also the tantalizing burlesque shows. Of course, this is Las Vegas we're talking about.
Tell me more about that, Cynthia.
Well, okay, so at the Luxor, you know, by day you can have the educational experience, and by night, just about anything goes, of course, as you know. And this one at the Luxor is called Midnight Fantasy.
Oh, yes, and, that's my favorite part. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's got the singing, dancing, and just about everything you'd expect from an outrageous topless review. And
you attended this just for me?
Of course.
Well, thank you, Cynthia.
I didn't really attend. I peeked my head through the door, and I said, you know, I wish I could attend this, but I was too tired by then.
Willem would love this,
you
right?
You would get your second wind, Willem. And the rooms, just to mention the rooms quickly at the Luxor, they're very interesting because of the slanted walls of the pyramid on the outside. The rooms are very different from your standard hotel rooms. And I was in a two-room jacuzzi suite and had a huge jacuzzi right next to the bed. And it sort of set under the eaves with a slanted window that looked out onto a spectacular view of the Vegas skyline. But the room is really different. It's really cozy because of the pyramid feel to it and has a lot of character, unlike probably a lot of the standard rooms in Vegas.
Well, people want something unique and different, and I think Las Vegas, over the last 5, 6, 7 years, has really gone out of its way to make many of its hotels stand apart from the crowd.
Yeah, and the one I stayed in, I'm running out of time already, and I have so much I want to say. The Venetian is just fabulous for a taste of Italy. I mean, it just recreates the ambience of Venice to a T. And the rooms there, they are the only suite hotel in Vegas. They have 4,000 rooms. It's the third largest hotel in the world. And they have actually a sunken living room in them, a huge marble. Everything in this hotel is fine Italian marble. It is rich, sophisticated, extravagant. I absolutely love this hotel. It's on the second floor. They recreate Venice with the Grand Canal, and you can actually hop in a gondola and have a costume character serenade you in Italian as you go through a recreation of the city of Venice. And the amazing thing is that the ceiling is like a sky. It's a painted,
beautiful,
perfect blue sky.
Beautiful.
We got to go like right now.
Oh!
I'm
just station getting started.
Stay online, Cynthia, okay. Following the show. But in the meantime, we gotta go now. I'm Willem Backus.
I'll come back and talk more.
I'm Stephen Pickford.
I'm Willem Backus.
I'm Alice Sobel.
Take care.
exact news, exact weather, exact traffic, exactly when you need it on AM 990, WXCT, Southington, the all-new 990 VX.